where we came from, where we've been. They're eternal questions that say a lot about where we're going as the human race. Welcome to Ancient Mysteries on the Air. Welcome to the program today. I think we're going to have a fascinating discussion. This is a topic I've long wanted to do a program on, but never really got around to it. So I don't know that we may have done something on it one time or another, but nowhere near, because I remember being fascinated by this as a small child. My uncle pulled out, basically took a coat hanger and made dowsing rods and said that he could, you know, find water. And he was walking over this area, and this is in West Virginia, and they were crossing. He said, there's water here. And ever since then, and also seeing it on In Search of as a kid, I've always been fascinated about the topic of dowsing. So I was very excited when one of our favorite guests, Jim Willis, who is on the line, told me that he is doing a lot of work in dowsing, and he actually has a YouTube channel on it, and we're so glad to have Jim with us. Jim is truly a Renaissance man. Not only is he the author of many books on the spiritual and the supernatural, I think it's over a dozen now. You'll have to tell us exactly how many. He was also a high school band and orchestra teacher, a symphony trombonist, a jazz musician, and a choral conductor before earning his master's degree in religion and entering the Protestant ministry for 40 years. And we're so glad to have him with us once again to discuss the topic of dowsing. Jim, thank you for joining us and looking forward to delving into dowsing with you.
Thank you, Jim. Good to be with you again, as always.
So how long have you had this interest in dowsing? How did this happen for you?
It was the craziest thing. I've always known about dowsing, but quite frankly, I never believed in it. I was a very rational, left brain type guy for most of my life. And I had seen some people who were dowsing for water, and I thought it was some kind of a trick. I didn't pay much attention to it. But about 11, 12 years ago, something like that, I came out here to South Carolina, having retired from everything. And one day I got up and decided I wanted to learn how to douse. I don't know why. So I looked on the internet. You know, that's what we all do. I looked on the internet and I discovered probably the easiest way to go about it was to get a couple of what they call L rods, which are shaped like the letter L. That was probably what you said your grandfather was
my
using?
Uncle, yes.
Your uncle was using. Well, I went down to the local hardware store. They didn't have any dowsing rods, but I got a couple of pieces of copper wire, and I cut them in about 19 inches, bend them in the shape of the L, and went out to find water and totally struck out. Couldn't find a thing. So I went back on the internet again, and I did find something interesting about dowsing for earth energy. And now that kind of intrigued me. It piqued my interest. So I went out in front of my house at the time and went out in the front yard and started clearing my mind and really getting myself set, like they all said, and really tried to concentrate, really tried to give it a serious thought. And I took the step that changed my life, basically, forever. One step, the rods were right there. The next step, I don't know why, I wasn't expecting anything. They all of a sudden crossed. And I quick got my wife and I said, come out here, come on, watch my hands, make sure I'm not moving the rods, all that kind of thing. I would take a step and into this energy stream beneath my feet. And I discovered that it was just like crossing a stream of water. On one side, you could the rods would collapse and then I would cross it and come back from the other side. It was about 84 inches long, wide, 84 and a half inches, I guess, is what I measured. And I went downstream, so to speak, and tried it again. Same thing, 84 and a half inches. I went back way, maybe a half a mile away, and following that energy stream, crossed it there. I discovered that I had built my house on what used to be called a ley line. Now they're calling them energy lines. And I had no idea. But since then, I've traced this on a map. I've doused it out as far as 30 miles takes a while to find because, of course, road maps are pretty inaccurate. But 30 miles away, I discovered this line, 84 inches, same thing, runs all the way across the country from coast to coast. And I tracked it. When I'm tracking it on a map as best you can on a road map, a flat map on a curved surface is difficult, but as best I can tell, I was amazed at how many ancient Indian sites it went through, the mound building cultures. And lo and behold, it bisected exactly the great medicine wheel out in North Dakota and area, you know, and out in Montana. And tracing it all the way across the country like this, there is this energy line. Now, since then, I've traced all kinds of earth energies. As a matter of fact, a couple of years ago, I had a wonderful opportunity to go over to Cornwall in England and douse, some of those great stone structures, everything from Stonehenge to the Merry Maidens, to some of those standing stones. And around here in this country, I've been called by people to come out and talk with them and douse around their area. And I'm just amazed at this. And surprisingly enough, since my mind was open for the first time, I lo and behold decided, I discovered that I could now douse for water too. I couldn't before. I just didn't believe in it, you know. And all of a sudden when this happened, you can douse for most anything right now, anything that is energetic and moving, and that's all of matter and all of mass. I had a great time. We had a the road that we live on is a road that we had to build ourselves pretty much most of the way because we live way out in the woods. But when they decided they needed to, the county had to come in and pave the road, but they knew a neighbor way up the road had put in a water line to his house, and they didn't want to touch it, so they sent their electric company out. They wanted to put make sure they didn't cut the electric wires or anything like that. And they didn't want to cut his water line. So they were out with their high-tech energy, with a high-tech electric truck. They had all the equipment and the fancy gauges and dials and everything like that. And so I went out and I said, What are you looking for? And they said, oh, we're trying to find this water line that goes to your neighbor's house. We don't want to break it. And I said, well, you want me to go get my dowsing rods? And the guy said, well, never mind. The head of the thing with this high-tech truck, he says, I'll get mine. And he went into the truck. He went into the truck filled with dials and tubes and electric stuff. And he come out with a set of dowsing rods. And I got mine. And within about a minute and a half, we had found the water line of the neighbor.
See, that's really interesting.
That convinced me. When I saw all these high-tech electric people using dowsing rods, I knew that something was real.
That was the thing when I saw your videos and so forth, the idea that you can douse for energy. Mm-hmm. Now, this might seem like a simplistic question, but how and why does that work? I mean, I guess water I can see, but why do you think it works for energy? I mean, I know you developed some theories on that, right?
Yeah, I have. When Einstein told us that energy is mass, the same thing, the famous equation E equals mc squared, energy equals mass times the speed of light squared. What he was basically saying was that mass is simply the manifestation of energy. Now, energy is vibration. Everything, every cell, every particle, down right down into the quantum realm, is made up of energy, which is vibrating. In other words, mass is simply energy in motion. And so everything that we see and touch and taste and smell and hear, it's energy in motion or vibration. Now, we've evolved in this world to have a very narrow sense, I think, of what that energy is. If all the information that was coursing through us was constantly being interpreted by our bodies, I think we'd go crazy because there's just so much information. So we've evolved, I think, in order to cut down the range of energy we can actually experience. For instance, sight, we see yellow, red, yellow, orange, green, blue, indigo, and violet. We know that there's light way up above that and way down below that. We know there are microwaves. Same thing with hearing. I'm amazed at what our dogs can hear that we can't hear or smell that we can't smell because we live in a very narrow, I think, band, a simplistic band, so to speak, which is great for helping us deal with the world. It's worked fine. We've been around for 200,000-300,000 years, and it's served us just fine. But it's only a very narrow band that we think it's everything. It's really not. It's just that narrow band that we perceive. But I think our bodies, being part of this energy, experience it. And so when we hold dowsing rods in our hand, we're really just performing a kind of technology. I don't think it's magic or anything like that. It's just a technology. They become our guiding rods, our technological tool that shows us what we are really experiencing. The example I like to give is for your listeners who are old enough to remember the black and white television with the rabbit ears on top. You know, I Love Lucy and all yep. that. I think. We discovered by accident, most of us, when we were younger and we had those kind of television sets, that if we picked up the rabbit ears when the television was kind of fuzzy and walked around a room, we could find a right place to put those rabbit ears and the picture would improve. What we didn't think about was that before we picked those rabbit ears up, those television signals were coursing through our bodies all the time. We just didn't know it. And so when we picked them up, we actually became aware of the fact that there were energetic forces going through our bodies that we just simply had no idea were there until we picked up the rabbit ears. The rabbit ears became our dowsing rods, so to speak, and we could see the results on the picture screen. So I think we're dealing with the technology, and earth energy, I think, is simply those energetic bands of earth. We used to say it was electromagnetism. Now people are beginning to veer more toward the quantum realm. But I think what we're becoming aware of is the fact that we are experiencing, our bodies are picking up all of these signals that are outside the range of our experience. And when we hold a set of dowsing rods, or a pendulum, or a forked willow stick, or something in our hands, all that does is become the dial, the antenna, so to speak. And when they move, they are actually showing us that energy. Now, do we actually move the rods without realizing it, or do they move on their own? Nobody knows for sure. It could be that they're responding to faint muscular signals within our body that we're not aware of. We don't know. But all I know is that once you begin to do it, you start to douse for everything. It's amazing the information you can pick up when you become adept at dowsing.
So could you give us an example where you could put this into practical use in your life? Maybe an example that's happened to you or someone you know where you've used energetic dowsing to achieve some aim, be it spiritual or more mundane.
Oh, well, I can give you spiritual and mundane. It's a kind of a long story, but when my wife and I moved here, before we really understood earth energy at all, we were just somehow drawn, we don't know how, to a particular place down below our house, down in a valley. And it just became a place of a real spiritual comfort to us. We knew that something was happening to us when we went down there. We didn't understand it. And we built a medicine wheel. Now, I'm a carpenter, so the medicine wheel was going to be composed of lengths such as 4-foot lengths, 8-foot lengths, because that's what you do when you're a carpenter on your rod, you know. But after it was all done, we discovered that we had, quite by accident, made a medicine wheel that was following not our United States measurements, but the same kind of measurements, the same type of measurements, in proportion that are used for every single major thing from Stonehenge to any of the pyramids, the main circles. And we discovered from people who have done these things, dowsing, that around these circles, these sacred spots, really sacred circles, there is an eightfold energy field that around every single one of them. I've dowsed them in England, I've dowsed them in Cornwall, I've dowsed them here in the United States, eight bands of energy running in opposite directions. One runs what right, one's up that. And it seems to be a grid that kind of kicks in when you step in with the right intentions. Now, since I've had my dowsing rods, I've been able to actually douse the energy that comes out from these places. Now, you might think that would be a fascinating thing. That's just great. And we loved it. It became our church, so to speak. We went down there every day and just kind of meditated. And I could douse all this energy down there, and we mapped it all out, and it was great. But when you ask for a practical application, what happened after a couple of years absolutely blew my mind to this day. I've always had trouble with bad ankles. I sprain one almost every year, one or the other. Mm. And they're very weak. And I had an accident a couple of years ago when I fell, and I think I probably cracked an ankle. By this time, I didn't bother going to get an x-ray or anything like that. I knew what had to be done, and I strapped it up and put a cast on it, and I walked with a cane, except, man, I had lost my balance, lost my stability for 6 to 8 months anyway, maybe even a year. And just when this was at its worst one day, I decided in the afternoon to go down to the medicine wheel.
And I do have to ask one question. I'm sorry to interrupt. Explain to people the concept of a medicine wheel if they're not familiar with it. I just want to make sure people are clear.
Sure. Oh yeah, it's a sacred space, so to speak. It's circular energy. It's usually a place where there's some kind of vortex where the energy, say two energy lines cross, just like two streams cross, mm-hmm. and the energy begins to swirl around in a vortex kind of thing. And they exist all over. And in this country particularly, it's a Native American concept. When the first white pioneers went out across the Mississippi and began to cross the plains and up in Montana and North Dakota and everything else, they would find these circles on the ground. And because they were Europeans, they called them wheels. And because the Indians used to pray there, and because they used to meditate there and have ceremonies there, they called them medicine wheels, like the medicine man, the medicine sure. wheels. So it sometimes they were a place of healing. Sometimes they were just a place where ceremony would come together. But the Native Americans were aware of these things. The same thing goes on in Europe. It isn't just an American thing. Although here in America, we call them medicine wheels. In Europe and in the British Isles, they usually call them something like sacred circles or something like that. Stonehenge is a classic example. Well, I knew this was a place of energy. I knew it was a place of power. And when I was sitting there with my foot in a cast and the cane and everything else, and I decided I wanted to go down the medicine wheel just because I was getting so tired of the pain in the ankle and having to limp around in the woods with a cane and all this kind of thing. And it just, I felt like somehow my ankle had become a symbol of instability, spiritual instability, so to speak. I had a lot of questions and everything else. Well, I went down to this place above the medicine wheel and I began to meditate. I had the cane and it was a slippery day. And so I walked down and I meditated down there, and I had an out-of-body experience there where I was very much aware of movement down at the medicine wheel below me. And so I couldn't make it down the hill to the medicine wheel, so I stayed up in this gazebo that we built up, but I meditated on the medicine wheel, and in my out-of-body experience, I slipped out of the body and out-of-body went down to the medicine wheel and had this vivid vision of being surrounded by these Native American wise women. Mm. And they put me down on the ground in vision in the middle of this medicine wheel, and they began to massage my ankle and work on my ankle. And I began, it was so real. I found I was sitting up above, my body was up above in the gazebo. I'm saying, wait a minute, the ankle up here is the one that hurts, not the one down there. You know, that's my astral body down there. But they just worked on it and worked on it. And all of a sudden, I found myself just being extremely comforted. And I felt this tremendous sense of energy just go through me. And it was such a vivid experience without even thinking about my ankle. When I came back into my body again, I said, I got to go tell Barb about this. And so I just walked up to the house and I realized halfway up, I'm walking without the cane. I'm walking without one bit of pain in my ankle. It's a slippery ground. I wasn't worried. I got up in the living room and there was Barb up in the living room reading a book. And I said, Barb, you won't believe this. I took off the cast And I began to dance around the room, just jump. And she said, how did you do that? And I said, I didn't do anything. They did it, you know. Now, I've tried to describe this 100 ways. I've tried to say maybe it was somehow psychosomatic. I don't know. All I know is the experience was so vivid. And since then, now years have gone by since then, I've never had another ankle sprain or turned an ankle that hurt since wow. then. And so it was a physical healing. Now, skeptics are going to say, oh, come on, Jim, it's probably psychosomatic. There's probably some explanation. I don't know. Maybe there is. All I know is that the vision was real. And all I know is that, man, I had a badly sprained ankle when I went down there, and I haven't had a bit of problem since. And it was healed instantaneously. And it was all because of the dowsing and the earth energy and everything else that went with it. So I don't attempt to explain it. I'm not starting a new religion and trying to make people believe what happened. All I know is what happened to me. And I know it was real. And it's you can't get more practical than that, I don't think. Since then, whenever Barb and I are sick, either one of them, whenever you have anything wrong, well, the first thing we do is whoever is sick lays down on the couch and the other one takes the pendulum and holds it over there, and we discover where the energy is, where the problem is. And it can identify if you're having chest pains. Is it in your heart? Is it digestive? Is it muscular? Is it this? Is it that? And boy, that's pretty practical. Now, I'm not suggesting that people start going to your local dowser instead of your doctor, you know, but I'm just saying that it's there and it works. And I've got a sneaking suspicion that our ancient ancestors were aware of all this much more than we are today. We've moved away from it, but I think they lived in this world. I really do.
Well, the thing is what I always say on the show is my personal belief on these kind of modalities is if it's not contraindicated by a physician or it's not, you know, some kind of quackery, why not give it a try in addition yeah. to Western treatments? I would Absolutely. Never want to be the person who say, throw away your cancer pills or whatever the yeah. case yeah. may be. I would never want to suggest that. Yeah. But if you can use these things as a supplement and they help you, why not? I mean,
why not?
Yeah.
I'm not going to say throw away your cane and then send me money through the mail, you know, like so right. many of these right. quack healers
but,
do.
But there are people out there who do that, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's right. That. That's right. It's terrible.
Now, you have a YouTube channel called Dowsing for Earth Energy with Jim Willis. Tell us about that.
Yeah, actually, the YouTube channel is a lot of different kinds of things. The YouTube channel is just listed under Jim Willis.
Oh, okay.
And if you go to YouTube and just do yeah, Jim that's Willis.
Right. I'm looking at it. I read the title of the video, yeah.
Yeah. And my daughter, Jan, who handles all the tech stuff for me, I mean, I wouldn't even be talking to you without Jan. She's the one that teaches me how to use and takes care of all these things and keeps my schedule and all that kind of thing. She and I decided that there was so much interest about dowsing, we had to start a series of dowsing videos. So the first one is on the YouTube channel. It's called Dowsing for Earth Energy. And that's number one. It's scheduled to be about six episodes long. We're just working on the second one right now. And the idea is through each of these videos, about 20 minutes long, we want to take people into the idea of what dowsing is, how it works, and then how to do it. For the second video, we're doing a lot of hands-on stuff. She's taking pictures of me and the dowsing rods and actually out in the field. But she does a really good job of putting them together, I think, artistically and in her craft sense and all that. So if anybody wants to get started, the first video is up, Jim Willis, Dowsing for Earth Energy. And second one should be out within a couple of weeks, probably, for sure. It's already been taped. It just she just needs to do her artistic tech magic with it.
Are you also thinking about a book to accompany this eventually?
If we do, I probably will have to publish it myself because the publishing industry is in real disarray these days. Very, very difficult. Publishers are taking a real bath. People just aren't buying books like they used to. If I could find a publisher who would make it worth my while to go ahead and do it, I probably would jump right on it. Otherwise, I think we might do that, but it'll probably be, have to be self-published. And unless there's a publisher out there, I've written 13 books, so I've had a little experience. If there's a publisher out there, get in touch with me. Go to my website, www.jimwillis.net. I'd love to hear from you.
Now, so you say that dowsing has changed your life. So is it something that you do daily? Do you do it weekly? Okay, go ahead. Tell us about that.
Yep, I do it every day, every morning. That's what the first thing I do is I get up, usually way before the crack of dawn, usually around 5:30, something like that. And I go out on our back porch, grab my dowsing rods, and I actually commune with a, now some of your readers are going to think I'm even more far out now. I actually commune with a spirit who I've discovered through dowsing. I've even given the spirit of a name, Sabuko, and I have come to believe, and remember, I was a Christian minister, Protestant minister for 40 years, and I still call myself a Christian. But I have come to believe that this is the spirit of an ancient ancestor, perhaps one of the first who settled here on this spot of land, probably drawn here by the same ley line that drew us here. And he has become a spirit guide. And I'm almost convinced that he's me on the other side, the part of me that was left on the other side when I was born into this material self. On my YouTube channel, there's a film that I had that I made when I was asked to speak at the a couple of years ago to the American Society of Dowsers. And they filmed it, and so it was done very well and everything else. But in that film, I was talking about dowsing and my own experience with dowsing. And I mentioned this idea. Now, these were all veteran dowsers of all different stripes. Some had worked with police departments in finding lost people by dowsing with pendulum on a topographical map. Some were dowsing for water. Some were earth energy specialists. Some were just getting started. Others had been dowsing for years and years. When I mentioned the spirit guide, I'm always a little bit skeptical about talking about this in public because you never know what kind of a reaction you're going to get, you know, from people. But here, this room, I could see all of us and everybody stood forward. And on the tape, when I mentioned that through a series of dowsing questions, I discovered that Sabuko was me on the other side. On the tape, you can hear an audible gasp in the room when I said that. Because I think other people that had the same experience, but they just didn't want to tell anybody. And we talked earlier about energy, and to put this in purely scientific terms, we are beings composed of energy, and now we have mass. How do we get mass? Well, we've discovered through the newly discovered Higgs field, which is just discovered couple of decades ago at the most, that this Higgs field exists between, so to speak, this is going to put it vastly too simplistic terms, but exists between us and the quantum realm. And that when energy passes through this Higgs field, the scientists say it's like going through a series of, through a field of molasses. The energy slows down and takes on mass. In other words, on this side of the Higgs field, we have this mass that is our bodies, but this body is energetic and it was able to take on mass because of the scientifically proven Higgs field. They've discovered it and examined it at the Hadron Collider, the Great Hadron Collider, and the group in Switzerland. And so here we are on this side. But a portion of that energy, I'm coming to believe, is left on the other side. It's the essential us on the other side. And I think this is the genesis or the basis of the belief for the major religions when they talk about guardian angels, when they talk about spirits, when they talk about beings from other realms. I think there is that energy that still exists on the other side, so to speak, that we return to when we leave here, when our material body dies, when the mass dies, when our ego is gone, we return to the source. I think we're going to be welcomed, not only by a host of energetic beings who are watching us, but by ourselves, who are the part that we left on the other side. theory. You can't prove any of this stuff. I'm not trying to start a new religion or anything like that. This is just how I understand it, and it's been very helpful to me.
Well, it's been a great discussion. I appreciate it, and it is fascinating. We've long wanted to talk about this subject, so I'm so glad that we had this opportunity. Jim, where can people find, A, the YouTube channel, and what do they look for again? And then, B, where can they find all of the rest of your work?
Probably the easiest way is just to go to the website, www.jimwillis.net. All the rest of the number, the things are there. The Facebook page and the YouTube page are all there. If you want to go right to the YouTube page, just Google YouTube and then type in search for Jim Willis. And about, 10, 15 things down, you'll see the little circle with my picture in the front, a gray-haired guy with a beard. And if you click on that, you'll come to about, half a dozen, maybe 8 or 10 videos that I have on that particular channel. If you want to go right to them, like I say, the website also has a contact page, and I love to hear from people. So if anybody wants to contact me, give me an email through the contact page. I'll be back in touch with you for sure.
Well, it was so good to talk to you about Earth Energy Dowsing. I appreciate it, and continued success. I look forward to our next discussion.
Thank you, Jim. Appreciate it very much.
And thank you for tuning into the program. We appreciate it, and we hope that you found some good energy today by listening to it. We'll talk to you next time, and keep exploring those mysteries. Bye-bye, everybody.